You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I next spoke to New Zealand Herald sports journalist Michael Burgess about sports washing.
First question I have is, what is sports washing?
Yes, it's a new term that sort of came into vogue in the last decade or so, and it basically means that countries or corporations, but generally countries, with some things to hide or some dodgy reputations, try and use sport with all its virtues and popularity to disguise a bit of that. So we've seen, the best example is we've seen various Middle East nation states who have been buying professional sports teams, notably in the English Premier League, and they feel that aligning with those teams, which are loved all around the world, helps to boost their reputation. So it's certainly a new strategy from, I don't know where it's come from, I guess the marketing and PR people within those organisations or governments have worked out that this is a really good way to change the image of themselves and their countries.
Do you think this World Cup might be the biggest example of sports washing we've seen yet?
Well, I mean, it's very interesting. I think what it is an example of is massive ambition. You've got to say that about Qatar, because they went after a prize that nobody thought was attainable for a country so small, given all the handicaps they faced in trying to convince FIFA that, hey, they can stage a World Cup in a tiny country with no real football culture, no real football infrastructure, and also the small problem of holding it in June or July in 40 or 50 degree heat. We know all the issues they had in trying to convince FIFA, but they did in various ways, it has to be said. And certainly, I guess the World Cup will bring Qatar to the world's attention like never before, but I think the bigger issue here is it actually has highlighted a lot more negative things about Qatar than positive. You know, we didn't know a lot of these negative things about Qatar before they got the World Cup, and now of course we do. So what, the football will be great, but I don't know if the football will necessarily reflect on Qatar. You know, the football is just a World Cup tournament like always, but I think Qatar itself, what it's highlighted is a lot of negative issues about the way they organise the tournament and certain aspects of their society.
This tournament quite successfully using players as ambassadors, most notably David Beckham. Why do you think it's so easy for players and ex-players to fall in line?
David Beckham was part of the unsuccessful bid around the same time. England were going, of course, for the 2018 World Cup that Russia got. So, and at the time, he was asked about Qatar winning the 2022 World Cup, and he said it was, I think his words was, it's disgusting or it's outrageous or something like that. And now, of course, he's a highly paid ambassador. I think there's some other examples too, as you mentioned. I think it's just a situation where these players are paid a lot of money to do this, and also ex-players like Beckham, you know, they are seen, he transcends football, doesn't he? He transcends sport. He's a worldwide celebrity. So they take their role as influencers very seriously. And Qatar sees Beckham as someone who can sell the message all around the world. And that's kind of what he's doing. Is it right? Well, probably not. But money does talk.
Have there been any responses from the football community?
Yes, there has. There has a lot. But you'd have to say it's mainly been confined to Europe in terms of protests about this World Cup. Certainly there's been some big efforts in Scandinavia particularly. There was actually serious talk for a while from Denmark. They were considering boycotting this World Cup. It never came to that. But certainly their players have been very outspoken talking about the fact that It shouldn't be in Qatar. They're constantly mentioning the human rights issues, the issues of migrant workers, the issues of other communities in Qatar, which don't seem to have too many rights. Other countries have stepped up with that as well, and other prominent individuals, the latest being Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp. So, yeah, there's certainly a lot of opposition. Fair to say, concentrated in Europe But it has been quite big at times.
Do you think having a tournament in such a country like Qatar might mean that the centre of the football world could be pivoting away from Europe and South America?
Well, it's interesting because the other thing that's happened over the last, I think since about January, is that FIFA president Gianni Infantino has relocated to Qatar. He's based in Doha. And this has never happened before. We've never had a FIFA president and quite a bit of the hierarchy moving from Switzerland to Doha. Now, a cynic would say he's done that because there are so many issues around the tournament and he wants to be there to face them and to just show the world. But it certainly has shown that, hey, there is a growing sense of power within the Middle East, not so much on the field, but certainly economically. There's already been talk that Saudi Arabia will in the future be, trying to bid for a World Cup, possibly a co-hosted one. So I think the global power of football is still very much entrenched in Europe and then, secondly, in South America. And that's probably been shown by the fact that those two continents have it looks like, successfully stopped FIFA's attempt to change the World Cup to every 2 years. But you'd have to say that this tournament in the Middle East could be the start of a sense that, hey, there are other important areas of the world in the football landscape, certainly.
What should football fans do who have any concerns about a World Cup being held in Qatar?
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is the worst part of all of this. I mean, the thing is, there are so many football fans out there in New Zealand and Australia, around the Pacific and around the world, that just love the sport. And it is a wonderful sport. You know, it's the biggest sport in the world because there's so much drama. There's nothing like it, really. And the World Cup, for most people, is the biggest of everything. You know, it's bigger than the Premier League, than the Champions League, bigger than anything. It's so special. And I guess that is what is the most damaging and frustrating about this whole situation, is that FIFA has sort of put all these football lovers in a real bind, because people are thinking, hey, should I go to Qatar and watch the World Cup? You know, am I really compromising my beliefs and my principles and my morals? Just like, should I be watching it on TV? Should I be supporting it? Should I be supporting the advertisers? But it's a question that also probably should have come up in the recent Winter Olympics in China, because we all know about the issues that China's got with how they've treated their population, especially their ethnic minorities. And that was another example where they hosted a big event and it kind of didn't get talked about that much. So I guess football fans, you know, I think you're allowed to enjoy and support the tournament, but you're certainly also allowed to voice your opposition to the processes that saw it end up in Qatar, and also voice your opposition to some of the issues about Qatar itself and the way life and society is there.
That was New Zealand Herald sports journalist Michael Burgess speaking about sports washing surrounding the Qatar Football World Cup.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.